Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm.
Everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm not plugged in. I gotta plug in my thing. Oh, I am plugged in. Okay, here we go then. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to week two of the Catch-Up Sessions. Today, we're talking with Charles Rogers from episode two, one of my earliest sperm donor contestants. And then we're going to talk to Zach Huddleston, one of my former donors. But to get us started, I want to give a big thank you to my latest Patreon subscribers. I think it's only one. Hold on. I'm looking it up. Here we go. Patreon.com/spermcast. Here we go. Come on. Open. It's taking longer than it should take. Come on. I think there's only one of you. Hold on. Okay. Relax. It's really taking a while. Aha. Haitha K, thank you so much for your contribution. I think that's how you pronounce that shape of a letter. At least, I went to Iceland back in 2012, and I think I learned that there. Are you from Iceland? If so, that's cool. If not, that's also cool. Thank you for your contribution. Guys, I'm not feeling great today. I'm really scared because Yesterday I took headshots, and I'm scared that I overdid it physically. It was hot out, very, very hot, and it was, about a three-hour session. I took lots of breaks, and I drank a lot of water, and I had some snacks, but I also wore two masks and exerted myself physically, maybe too much, because afterwards I felt really bad for the rest of the day. I don't know. I just started to feel really shitty physically, like out of breath all afternoon, so exhausted. Just sat there, stared off into space or at my phone, but really like didn't move for the rest of the day, except to edit for about maybe an hour. And then towards the end of the day, I started to get a headache. And now I'm just really worried that I fucked everything up and that I don't know. I'm just terrified that I overexerted myself, that my fetus wasn't getting enough oxygen, that my body might have overheated, and that would be terrible for a fetus. And I don't know. Or maybe the anxiety is coming because I have an ultrasound tomorrow, or maybe because my NIPT test got moved up a week and it's actually happening today. Which is great because I'll have the results sooner, but I just don't feel well physically, and my head hurts, and I'm a real baby when it comes to a headache. So we're going to move on to some updates. Okay, physically, here's what's going on with my fetus, my little shrimp. Hold on. Oh, God, and my ears are killing me. Oh, God. Okay. At week 10, I'm 10 weeks and 2 days, by the way, my fetus is 1.18 inches, about the size of a strawberry and maybe about 0.14 ounces. They say here you're supposed to see a baby bump, maybe, or that you could potentially be seeing one. I don't know. I've always had a little baby bump my whole life, so doesn't look any different to me. But I'm sure if you saw me, you'd say, oh, you've got a baby bump. And I'd say, I've had this my whole life, so whatever. Also, I still have not gained a single pound. I definitely look heavier, but no, the scale has not changed. It's basically 131.5 every day. What else about week 10 baby shrimp. The basic structure of baby's heart is in place and beating up to 160 beats a minute. Baby's neck is lengthening, which allows for more kicking and squirming, though it will be a few more weeks before you'll be able to feel those mighty kicks. Baby's also developing muscle control, meaning he or she can flex those wee hands and, yep, make a fist. Now, the pregnant woman body. My body. At 10 weeks, baby is as big as a strawberry. I already know that. Your breasts are growing, and by the end of this trimester, can go up 1 to 2 sizes. I agree. They're growing. They're still weird as hell. Other symptoms. Round ligament pain. Don't be surprised if you start feeling some aches and pains in your abdomen as it stretches to accommodate your growing baby. While some moms-to-be don't really get or notice them, others find these sensations called round ligament pain downright painful. I don't think I'm experiencing that. The only time I have pain down there is when I sneeze or cough. Morning sickness. Nausea and vomiting are pretty common at 10 weeks pregnant. The good news is they'll likely subside soon after you hit the second trimester. Well, everybody, I still don't have morning sickness, and I'm so grateful for that. I feel terrible for the women that do experience nausea right now. Mood swings. Changes in your hormones may be to blame for a roller coaster of emotions. I'm definitely not in a good mood. Fatigue. You're zapped. Here's why. Not only is your body working really hard to grow baby, but your sleep might be disrupted by some pretty weird dreams. Well, yeah, my sleep has been very disrupted. I don't know if it's dreams or the heat or my obstinance when it comes to installing my air conditioner. But because of my physical situation last night, feeling overheated, I did finally install my air conditioner, and oh my goodness, I slept under a blanket, which is wild, but I still slept terribly. Woke up about 5 times. Increased vaginal discharge. An increased blood flow to your vagina coupled with an increase in estrogen production could cause more of a clear, odorless discharge called leucorrhea. Leucorrhea, not sure. It might seem a little gross, but this substance is simply nature's way of getting rid of bacteria. I have no idea if I have this because I still use the vaginal suppositories twice a day, and so I'm constantly leaking white fluid. Visible veins. Those blue streaks are an important reminder. They're a sign of all the extra blood circulating in your body for your growing baby. Don't know. I mean, I've always been veiny, ladies and gents. So I don't know if they're any bluer than usual. And that's it for my fun update. Sorry for my attitude, but let's get to these interviews because they're a lot more fun than I am right now. Charles is a screenwriter, director, producer, and co-creator of the wonderful show Search Party on HBO Max. And in case you're wondering, I did take a break and now I'm back with more energy. Anyway, you met Charles in episode 2 of Spermcast when I surprised him and his then-boyfriend Jordan with the question of whether or not they would donate their sperm to me. On the scale of 1 to 10, Jordan was like a 1 or a 2 or maybe a 0. And I think Charles was a 5. Hello.
Hi, Molly.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you.
You too.
We were supposed to meet in my backyard, but you got scared.
I know. Well, I thought I had COVID, but I think I didn't have COVID, and I'm pretty sure I just always have strep throat all the time.
No, it's so good that you rescheduled after taking a test. I mean, yeah. That you, because I wouldn't want to risk that for myself.
Totally.
Like me, way back when COVID became terrifying, Charles escaped to his parents' house, but he stayed there for 5 months, and he just got back to town. Also, like me, he's thinking about moving back for a longer stretch. Though he's not pregnant, and he's probably not going to move in with his parents. I mean, I might not move in with my parents either, but I probably will for a little while. Anyway, let's talk to Charles. So let me ask you this really important question. You've been working on a political campaign.
I have. I'm the campaign manager to Anne Ranch. She's a U.S. senator.
U.S. senator of what state?
Well, she's a U.S. senator, if that answers your question. She's an American citizen, and she represents a big body of people.
And is she related to – she looks so familiar.
She's been compared a lot to Steve Buscemi.
Yes, she does. Eyes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what people love to say.
And about. Has she been in politics her whole life, or how did you get involved in the campaign?
Magnetism, sheer magnetism. You know, some people are in your life for a reason, a season, a lifetime. And for me, Anne, it's a season, it's a campaign season.
Wow. Wow. And so if the listeners want to look into Anne Ranch and whether, you know, is she a Democrat or a Republican or independent?
I know. It's such a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can look into her at official Anne Ranch.
That sounds great. On Instagram or anywhere?
Just Instagram.
Okay.
And then, you know, I went on All Things Considered to talk about her. So if you Google her, that's the only thing that comes up over and over and over. So
I know. It's so funny. I mean, it's not a joke.
No, it's very serious.
No, it's a very serious, serious politician. And I hope my listeners go and they do their research and they go to @officialAnnRanch on Instagram and look into her. She's just done so much for our country.
Yeah, and you can buy her merchandise at AnnRanch.com. Mm-hmm. And all the proceeds that I make off of her merchandise, I donate to the Audre Lorde Project, which is a real organization.
Oh.
The Audre Lorde Foundation takes care of trans, queer, people of color. A lot of youth, too. They're a really good organization. And so, like, any money I might make, I just match and send back to Audre Lorde.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to put a link to Anne Ranch's Instagram in my show notes and a link to her merch page and a link to Audre Lorde Foundation.
Thank you, Audre Lorde Foundation. Thank you. Anne thanks you. She really appreciates your
support. Oh, my gosh. Would you give her a hello from me and maybe have her sign something? I don't know what.
Absolutely. Yeah, she'll come sign your car.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. Okay, so now that we got your life out of the way.
That's my whole
I'm obligated to ask you, are you bummed out that you didn't give me sperm?
I'm not bummed out. I was wondering where you were at in the process of it. I mean, do you feel resentful that I didn't?
No. You were literally episode 2 when I was really just in the exploratory phase. And yeah.
You had your hand out. You're like,
I didn't
right
know
here.
What yeah, was happening. Yeah. Just anybody give it to me. No. But,
you know, I don't know what it would be like if I had given you the sperm. I think we'd be in touch all the time. I just don't think I could do it and not be super involved.
Right. Yeah. That was something that I think everybody had a different sort of reason that really, really got to them, whether it was that or God, just not wanting to have their some people right. didn't care at all. It's so interesting how different everybody was. But you were also in a relationship at the time, and would that have affected your relationship?
I'm sure it would have. I think because I wouldn't have been able – I don't think I would have been able to have done it without – I don't think I would have been able to like really restrain myself and just be like, yeah, Molly's off doing that. Like, I just feel like I would have gotten really involved. And so I think that narrative would have ended up being a big part of my life.
Right. Yeah. I remember you saying that, like, well, I've got a kid in Los Feliz that I might run into on the street.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like COVID, it would be like, how's the kid?
Yeah. I think, our contract would have been nullified somehow and you would have been in my pod.
Totally. Or it would be like in Texas with my family and you'd be like suing me.
Yeah. Or maybe we just come to Texas and you just never see the end of us.
My parents are like, well, it's as close as we got to a straight boy.
So, yeah. But you do want kids one day, or at least you did at the time, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, I really do. I still do.
Oh, you still do. Yeah. And something I've been asking everybody is, has COVID and the state of the world and all of that affected that in any way or made you think about it more?
I've been doing a lot of soul searching, like during COVID, and a lot of life change, transformation, a lot of letting go, a lot of things I didn't want to have happen that I'm having to make peace with and turn you know, lemons into lemonade, whatever. Like, it, everything happens for a reason, and it's all for the best. But it's been a really brutal, brutal, traumatizing year. Almost a year and a half now, which is nuts. But I think it's taught me I have a ways to go before I feel like I'm ready to, like, raise a kid. Like, I just feel like I'm learning more and more and more about myself. And I just can't believe people have kids before they know who they are. Like, I just can't believe that's the norm. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. And are you still in your 20s?
No, I'm 33 now.
No.
I'm not as young. I'm not as young as you think I am. I was in my 20s.
No, I didn't mean that as an insult. I mean, it's a compliment. I just remember that you and Jordan being so much younger than me.
Well, Jordan's 4 years younger than me. And so that was a part of it. And then also I was in my 20s in the last 4 years, 3 years flew. Like since Trump was elected, the wrinkle in time, like we're going down the drain. And I think time's spinning faster or something.
No, the older you get, the faster it goes. It's, I mean, when we're like 100, it's going to be like a blink of an eye. I mean, every time New Year's happens, I'm like, okay, Christmas is right around the corner.
Better break out the Christmas decorations.
It's, I hate it. And when I was a kid, it was like, oh my God, when is this week going to be over? When is this school year going to be over? Even, in the beginning of, quarantine. When I went to New York, I quarantined in an Airbnb for 2 weeks before I saw my parents. And it was like, it felt like a millisecond.
Yeah.
And I think because my mind was racing, I didn't have time to think, be bored or anything like that. And so I just, I don't know, it just flew by.
I think too, with COVID, it's like, we're on some level, this is trauma, like on some level, because we're not able to fully reconcile this experience in real time because we're really uncertain about the future and we're afraid of the future. And so we're not able to fully use all of our brain or be fully present right now. And so I think it's making time slip because we're not, we're just less present.
Yeah, we're not here.
Because fear is hanging over us.
Do you feel like you have a timeline even though you're a guy and 33?
I grapple with my parents being old. Thing. That's the thing, is that they want a grandkid. They've told me before, like, you know, no pressure, but it's like, I know it would bring them happiness. But also being at home, being alone with them, I'm an only child. And, you know, like we are like our dynamic is our dynamic. And I had a thought the other day where I was like, you know, if something bad happened, if, you know, one of my parents passed away or something, and I, God forbid, but it would be like, you know, like we don't know another dynamic. So like, it's interesting. Like I used to be like, I want to give them grandkids. And now I'm like, well, when I do, it will actually, the whole dynamic will totally change. And we really thrive. I don't know if we thrive, but we're just really used to this sort of triangle. So I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't want to have kids until I'm 40, to be honest. But then there's like my parents thing. So I want them to be around.
Now, not that this will happen, but if you were a single man at 40, like I was a single lady at 39 and 40 and 41, do you think you would go to the lengths to, I don't know, get a egg donor and a surrogate?
I think I would. I feel like I have some shame around that because I think there's pressure for queer people to adopt, which is completely valid.
Like, there's pressure so for valid. Anybody should feel shame, but it's not shame. But go ahead. I that's interesting to hear what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess I'll figure it out when that time comes. And I don't even, I mean, I hope I'm fertile. I don't know. But I just feel like, and this is maybe, you know, somewhat narcissism, I don't know what, but I feel like there's traits I have, my family has, that I would know how to shepherd in ways that I kind of wish they had been shepherded for me, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I could raise someone with my DNA in a well.
You're like, okay, I recognize this behavior, and here's where we're going to nip this one in the bud.
or be like, it's okay. That's okay. It's okay to be you. You know, it's just stuff like that.
For
you
sure.
Know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, about the adoption shame, I think that's it's interesting that it might be more for the gay community, but it is something that I think anybody that gets adored, anybody that has a kid, biological child, regardless, I think needs to think about that. And
mm-hmm.
You don't call people that accidentally get pregnant selfish. There's no... Mm-hmm. Just because it's more intentional doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It is inherently selfish, obviously. Life on Earth is – reproduction is selfish.
But totally.
Interesting. I wonder how your sperm is.
I do too. I wonder that too. I feel like it's good. I feel like I have something to worry about. I have something called varicocele. It's like knotted veins in my testicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty common.
Yeah.
And they say that the longer you live with it, the more it increases your – not even that it increases your chances of infertility, but a percentage of infertile men also have it. And so there's some correlation suspected. So that's something I keep being like, I should figure that one out.
How do you know these veins are twisted? Can you see or feel? Doctor says there's a tightness or something. Sorry. These are the deets.
I got them. Well, you know when you look something up on WebMD and you're just like, well, that's what it is. Yeah. Like you're like, so you feel so the doctor. Like sometimes you're like, it could be, but then you're like, it's definitely that. And then I went and got it checked and the doctor was like, yeah, you could, you know, if you want to, the surgery is pretty non-invasive, but I don't know. You know, I'm so classically stupidly a man and that I'm like, don't touch it.
Yeah. I watched a vasectomy online one time. It is so easy. It takes 10 minutes. And
my cousin got one. Oh my gosh. Sent me the image of his balls after and it was like,
okay. Ooh. Well, maybe it's harder for boys, I know, but watching it was fascinating. Well, I'm just thinking as a gay man, or if you do end up, you know, using your sperm to get pregnant one day, you might end up doing IVF for surrogacy anyway.
Yeah, right.
So if you're doing IVF, they can extract the sperm from your testicles rather than you doing it in their room. I mean, it's more expensive.
Oh. Wow.
It's more expensive and it hurts. But if there is a problem with your sperm actually exiting your vas deferens isn't connected or the varicocele maybe blocked it off or pinches it or something like that, then you can get, you can get the sperm extracted. A varicocele, varicocele, occurs when a bulge results from enlarged veins inside the scrotum. Every vein has a valve that prevents blood from flowing backward, but sometimes the valve fails. This causes blood to flow back, damaging the vein and causing swelling. Most men who have varicoceles do not have fertility problems. Infertility rates among those with varicoceles, however, are higher than those without them. The main concern with varicoceles is that the bulge of the veins may damage sperm and lower sperm count. In those individuals with an average sperm count, a varicocele is unlikely to cause infertility. Although treatment of a varicocele generally improves sperm characteristics, it's not clear if an untreated varicocele leads to progressive worsening of sperm quality over time. So we don't know if sperm count, sperm quality gets worse over time if left untreated. A varicocele is identified in 15% of healthy men and up to 35% of men with primary infertility. But wait, hold the phone. I was researching something else and I found some other news. It says, the majority of males with varicocele will not have problems. 1 out of 5 males with varicocele will experience difficulty fathering children. Semen analysis is highly recommended after age 16 to determine if varicocele repair is needed. If a semen analysis is normal, it is recommended to have a repeat analysis every 2 to 3 years, as with time, the quality of sperm may decrease. Fertility issues may come up years later, even if not seen earlier. Now, I'm not sure if this is the truth. It's from urologyhealth.org. But why not go and get that semen analysis then? Just to make sure. Okay, peace.
That's so interesting. Here's something else that I need to come to terms with that I haven't admitted to myself fully. But sometimes after I come, it burns a little bit. And I have an off and on prostate infection, which is just some bullshit I have to like take antibiotics for every now and then.
Wow.
Which is, it's actually kind of common too. It's weird. The window for that for men is like my age group and then older. Like, you know, when you're like in your late 60s or something, it comes back.
Wow.
It's kind of weird.
I don't know anything about that.
I think this sounds like maybe I'm just medieval and don't know anything about the body, but I think that sitting in director's chairs on set, like, scooped and pushed everything
right
into the center and gave me a prostate infection.
maybe it's possible. And you've seen a doctor about it or just a general practitioner, not a urologist?
I saw a urologist. It was the terrible urologist. He was like, somebody stick a finger up your butt yet?
Oh, no, come on.
Are you being real? And then he like over-lubed the glove, and then
I don't like this. What the fuck?
I know. And after he did it, he like wiped my butt with the glove and threw it in the normal trash and not the like biohazard trash, and it just left me with all this fucking lube on my body. It was so gross.
I don't like this.
So I didn't do a
terrible. I'm sorry.
But he did give me a piece of information, which I think he's could be right about, which is that there's something. The cum tubes.
I'm loving this.
There's something.
What's a cum tube? Oh, you mean like in your penis?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Like from the balls to the urethra. Yeah. There's like they can become like strained and that can cause like some blockage with ejaculation, and then that can cause burning.
Interesting.
And when he said that, I was like, I actually think that's exactly what it is. I just think I'm all like I'm all shoved down. I think my pelvic floor is real tight down there.
Because of those scoopy director's chairs. Yeah. You should get yourself a donut. Get some air down there.
Yeah.
People think you have hemorrhoids.
Embarrassing. Yeah.
It's like, it's not hemorrhoids, you guys. My prostate is twisted.
My cum tubes are strained.
Yeah.
So those are my concerns. And I guess the like the fear of like being infertile or something has kept me from like really pursuing it medically, which is not healthy. But yeah, I should figure it all out.
I have a urologist friend that listens to this podcast. So if she lets me know that you should be worried, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But I think, I mean, unless a varicocele makes it so that you
have no sperm count.
No, kinda. But that it like gets worse over time. Then if that's a thing, then yeah, right. Address it now. But if you've already got it and it's not like going to progress, why invade your ball sack right now?
That's how I feel.
But I'll ask her.
Yeah, please do. I need to know if I'm just avoiding. But yeah, those are my fertility quandaries, I guess. But
yeah. Okay, so I shot her a quick text and I haven't heard back yet. So then I did a little bit of my own research and I basically Googled chronic prostatitis, which is a prostate infection, and varicocele, and it looks like there might be an association. Well, it's a whole study, but the conclusion of the study was signs and symptoms of prostatitis are more common in varicocele patients. I mean, that's interesting because Charles, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not, I'll text you, but if there is an association, then maybe if you take care of the varicocele, your on and off again prostate infections might stop showing up. So, oh, time to do my progesterone insertion. Anyway, back to the show.
There you go.
I miss talking about sperm, honestly. The show used to be all about sperm, and now it's all about female infertility.
That's so funny. You had to start from the outside and work your way in.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't really want to get to know myself. I started with the opposite sex, as far away from myself as I could, and then got really to the root of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope I was helpful. I hope this
was. It's so fun.
I love you, Molly.
Oh, I love you. You know, if you ever, I could do a walk, a neighborhood walk.
I would love to do a walk.
I don't really go to Griffith anymore because nobody wears their fucking masks.
Even fucking up and down Silver Lake Boulevard, like in front of the dog park. I'm like, no. What are you doing?
What the fuck?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I don't like it. Are you always being careful? Yes, yes, yes. You just went and had a test yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like paranoid. I was sick. So.
All right. Let's end this. I love you so much. Okay. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, that was so much fun to catch up with Charles and to learn all about balls. Oh, man, it's been a long time since I've seen any balls. Don't worry, we've got more balls coming right up. But first, if you want to hear the rest of my conversation with Charles, this was just a fraction of all the fun stuff we talked about. And you can hear the full version on the Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/spermcast. These catch-up interviews are all available at the $2 level. So it's a lot of bang for your buck, people. And now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, it's my pleasure to bring you our old friend, Zach. We all met Zach way back in episode 14. On a scale of 1 to 10, Zach was a 10. So when it came time to pick donors, it was an easy choice. He was so open-hearted and just wanted to help. You can catch Zach in a bajillion episodes of Spermcast, but maybe the most notable one would be season 2, episode 1. The insemination.
Hello, Molly.
Hi, your hair's darker.
Oh, I'm wearing a hat too, but yes.
Wouldn't it be strange if you dyed your hair black? Quarantine made you dye your hair black?
Yeah, my late 30s goth period. Yeah.
These days, Zach is still teaching improv, although it's over Zoom, and he's a producer for a YouTube channel. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach Huddleston. So, Zach. I never told anybody on my podcast why you decided to not donate anymore. Is that something you want to, that you can talk about or want to, or?
Yeah, we could talk about it.
I mean, it's a happy thing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Or I can be like, my testicles fell off. I was no longer producing sperm. It's a better story.
So, yeah, can we tell everybody about your terrible accident that you had where your balls got twisted and...
I've always been a ball twister and I usually...
Is that a move? Is that a thing that guys do?
Oh, totally. Yeah. But usually I stop at 2 twists. Oh. And turns out if you make it all the way to 4, they pop off.
No, but they don't do that. Guys don't twist their balls, do they? No, he's shaking his head. Okay.
I mean, I guarantee there's somebody out there that's really into that, but yeah. Not that I know of. No.
That's probably my man. He's out there waiting for me.
Just twisting away.
Okay, no, your balls didn't fall off. What happened back then?
No, so I, you know, as I said on your podcast, I was single when you and I kind of began the process. And then, you know, after a while, I was no longer single. And in my naivete, I was like, oh, well, this is a decision I've made with my friend Molly, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think the big, like, well, a decision like that has ramifications for other people in your life. And so the person that I was in a relationship with, I realized, like, oh, this is, you know, this does have a big impact on them, mm-hmm, in a way that they didn't like volunteer for, like I volunteered for. Right. And so I think that was part of it. And it was a hard decision. There were tears and arguments and, you know, everything, because I valued being a part, mm-hmm, of your process, you know, and it was some degree of sacred to, you know, for you to include me in that. I don't believe in God, but whatever, you know, whatever the equivalent. And so that was hard. And I did feel like I'd made a commitment to you, and it was really hard to kind of break that commitment.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy for you now that.
Well, I just wanted to share with you that I am so grateful for what you did for me. And I know it wasn't an easy decision. And I know 100% how complicated it is when you're in a relationship. And yeah, and that your person.
Well, and yeah, and that person, like, we started dating after you and I had already done some of the. So it was very much like I'd. You know, I don't know, date three, it was like, hey, by the way.
But also in the very beginning with me, you were very single. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You weren't just, I don't know, you weren't specifically looking for your life partner, were you?
No, and I anticipated being single for a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wasn't like hunting
you
for
had a different
spouse or something.
Mindset. And then falling in love, which is incredible and wonderful. Yeah, that changes things, and that's okay. And it's I know you must have agonized over not being able to be in that position for me after making that commitment. Now, so I know it was really hard. So I appreciate you being honest with me right from the get-go. And well, like after I told you I was pregnant, you let me know.
Yeah,
that you wouldn't be able to donate anymore if it didn't pan out.
Yes.
And I think that's good. It wasn't easy to hear, but better to find out then after I have a miscarriage and you're not available anymore, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it was not too long after that that you switched to the sperm bank.
Wait, hold on. I want to get to the good news from on your end.
Oh, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. But this is worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. That we went on three dates. I backed out of donating sperm. Never heard from that person again. That would have been a real tragedy. No. Yeah. I'm still with this person, and we're very happily engaged. COVID is obviously. We were supposed to get married in May.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Now, who knows when that will happen, but
wow.
Yeah, still together.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Let's see. Ooh, okay. So you and your partner have been cooped up. I know, you know, you guys. Okay, I don't know, actually. Do you guys want kids? Do you talk about kids?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we do want kids. And I think, you know, we're both close to age that you are. And so that's certainly a priority near the top of the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Has COVID changed your feelings about kids at all, or made you think about it in a different way? And the state of the world with the social unrest?
I mean, if I'm being honest, the main thing it makes me think is like, I'm really glad I don't have school age children right now.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for those people. And the kids. Oh, it's so sad.
Oh, so sad. Well, and though, on the other hand, so my sister has an 11-month-old son, a little baby, and like COVID or quarantine for her in some ways has been kind of nice. She still has to go into her job, but her and her husband are home more. And like, you know, in some ways it would be fun, like, you know, with a rugrat, you know, being stuck inside is not that big a deal for them. They don't really know what they're missing, and forces you to have more time with them. I guess, yeah, every day that goes by teaches you how precious life is and that we shouldn't waste time, that kind of a thing.
Okay. So do you think that, and you don't have to answer this, do you think that it's important to wait for marriage to have a baby with a lady?
No.
Well, no. Okay. All right.
I wasn't married to you. We were kind of having a baby. Yeah, kind of. No, I don't. And you know, that view might have changed over time, but certainly now I don't.
Well, then I'm all for you know what.
Yeah. There's no time like the present, right? I've learned that through listening to the Spermcast podcast, and
I do encourage it.
Absolutely. Well, especially like, I mean, COVID has changed. COVID and the quarantine that comes along with it has changed so many things and beliefs and whatever. Like the, not that the institution of marriage has been eroded by it or something like that, but like for us, we were set to get married and have a big thing. We delayed that.
Married right now.
We would be married right now. Yeah. And technically we're not. And now we're like, well, we should probably just do a courthouse kind of a deal. And then if we're able to, at some point, if the world's ever normal again, you know, have a ceremony, which apparently even like courthouse weddings are kind of hard right now. Cause like you have to get like a person to come to you. Oh. They won't let you go to the courthouse. Oh. And like, if there's only like one guy for the whole LA County or something strange. So even that is kind of a lot of rigmarole, but, yeah, I don't know. It's like so many timelines are strange. And like, because even the world has always been a crazy place. And like the entertainment industry has always been a crazy industry. And LA has always been a crazy city. But there was some degree of predictability, right? Like you kind of knew where you'd be in a year, or you could guess. But now it's you.
Well, you at least knew you weren't going to be worse off than you were. Maybe a little, but like you weren't going to fall too far behind.
Or yeah, or like not be able to do normal parts of your life or work or see people. And like now I do feel like the degree of chaos in all of our lives is just so much greater.
Okay. Let's say that pregnancy had lasted. I would have,
yes.
Let's see. When would I have had a baby? March, April, May, June, July, August, September, November, December. Oh, I would have had a fucking Sagittarius.
I'm a Sagittarius.
I know, Zach. It's my own stupid inside joke that I think is funny, but nobody else likes. So I'd have like an 8-month-old kid right now. Do you think it would look like you or me or some sort of alien?
It would look like you. It would look like you. That's crazy to think about that. I mean, that'll also, does that ever drive you insane? Thinking about,
I don't really think
children?
About that. About what?
That's probably, or just these children that don't exist.
No, I don't. Because I think back then I rationalized it, not rationalized it. I processed it by thinking that wasn't the soul of my baby was not in that physical body. And that was just a physical body that the soul might have tried it on and said, nope, this one's not going to work. Give me the next one.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it was so early. It was pretty early and I never saw a heartbeat. It wasn't less, you know, painful, but I wasn't super attached. I mean, I was super fucking excited, but not so much outwardly.
Yeah. And this is your current where you are right now in this is the farthest you've been.
Mm-hmm. Because my first ultrasound last time at about 6 weeks, there was no, it was just an empty gestational sac. There was nothing in it that the doctor could see. And then the same one, you know what? I don't want to compare. Give me anxiety, just a flicker of anxiety. And I'm like, let's not.
No, sorry.
Yeah. But I'm feeling good and positive. Next week, I have another ultrasound and then some genetic testing. And then after that, if everything's okay, I'll feel good.
Yeah.
And I ended up using my frozen eggs from when I was 37. So thank God I had those.
Vintage. What would that have been? 2015?
2015, good year.
It was a good year. Great year. better president.
Improv was maybe happening. Or, no,
it still
I think
existed.
I think I was done with improv by then.
Yeah. You'd already wisened up. Yeah.
I got out of there at the right time.
I mean, you picked some good stuff. You got out of improv before the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
You decided to get a sperm donor before it would have been like, if you and I were still going through the process the same way we'd done before, that would be very complicated right now.
Mm-hmm. You know what, dude? You could totally do it and just leave it outside your door.
like a Postmates delivery or something? Totally. Contactless delivery of sperm?
Yeah, because I don't think it's, because it's respiratory. It doesn't spread through semen, yeah. I don't think. Does it? I have no idea. Oh, great. I have to look something up now.
Bing, Molly here.
There is currently no evidence that COVID-19 virus is transmitted through semen or vaginal fluids, but the virus has been detected in the semen of people who have or are recovering from the virus.
Do you think that like dating will be easier as a mother than as a pregnant or trying to get pregnant person?
I hope so. Oh my God, yeah. If it's not easier, I'm fucked. I do hope so. It's been such a complicated 2.5 years. You know, I wouldn't want to date me.
Well, I mean, that circles back to like that uncertainty thing we were talking about with quarantine. Like,
yeah,
not that dating you would be uncertain, but like, yeah, they don't exactly know what they're signing up for. Right.
Right. I mean, how could they if I don't know what I'm signed up for?
Yeah.
The whole fertility thing is such a question mark. And doing it by yourself, it's just, oh boy. It's not easy. And I tried to normalize it for myself as much as possible and make everybody else feel like it was totally chill. But, like, it's not.
You've done a good job. I know it may still not feel normal, but you've done a great job on via your podcast.
Thank you.
Moving forward in that direction.
Yeah,
at least.
Well, maybe one day it'll be easier, but that question mark does, like, you can't, you don't know if you can go on trips and you don't know. It's just not easy. It makes everything more complicated. So, yeah. The answer is get knocked up in your 20s. That's the answer.
Listeners.
Go for it early. Get it done. Then,
Why not teens? Just get it knocked out real early.
Oh, know? My God. Oh, I was talking with Alex how you guys never met each other and how you guys are just both so nice. And I was saying you guys would probably be like, hey, man, I hope it's you. I hope it's you. And then like, no, seriously, I really hope it's you. Can you please make this work? But it would have been so fun to have you guys together somehow. Oh, well.
Maybe someday we'll share an elevator or cross paths in some weird way. Well, I mean, funny. Whenever this kid's first birthday is.
Sure.
In some open air park, you know, you could bring all the previous Spermcast guests.
Oh, my God. And I can't wait for that documentary.
or this kid's, I mean, hopefully we're all alive, but like hopefully this kid's 18th birthday. They can become the documentary filmmaker that tracks down everybody involved in their mom's journey or something like that.
Wowee. Yeah. I think that's fabulous. I'm not going to make my kid do that, but.
For the first birthday, they're not making any choices by that point.
Oh,
you
for
know,
sure.
You could see something in Elysian Park or wherever, and there's balloons and cupcakes, and that'd be a lovely thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's this kid or another one, I'm getting nervous again.
That's right. Sorry.
It's okay. I always forget, and then I remember. Chill out.
Well, do you think it does it do harm to?
I just think it makes me more vulnerable to pain, to potential pain that could happen. But I think everything's okay.
I don't know how your anxiety works, but is the anxiety better or worse than the potential pain?
Better. Because I don't feel that anxiety on a regular basis. Mm. It's just a sort of a whoop. And it's like, okay, just stay in the moment. Just be here now. You're pregnant right now. And you don't need to think about 2 months from now or a year from now. And think about first birthdays, but it was really fun to think about for a minute. My kid will have a first birthday no matter where they come from, whether it's from my uterus or maybe they already had their first birthday. We'll find out. But I'm seeming more nervous right now about it than I am. I'm really not thinking about it in that way often.
I got to say, having not talked to you in a long time, you seem great, Molly.
Thanks. You seem great. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. But you seem to be doing well. Is that how you characterize yourself?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel well. Yeah. I feel well. A week ago, I wasn't feeling so great. Actually, when I was in Amanda's, did I talk about shame in that episode? Yeah.
Thank you. And now, Zach.
I think so. Now, for all of my listeners out there who are considering donating sperm, would you say go for it?
Yeah. I would say give strong, if you're single at the time, give strong consideration on if no longer being single would change your behavior or would complicate matters. Mm-hmm. And if you're not single when you do it, well, then definitely just have that conversation.
Yeah.
With your partner. Yeah.
And now, how would you, now I've got, let's see if I've got a ton of listeners out there about to ask a guy for their sperm. What's the best way to do it?
Oh, that's, I don't know.
Do they have to start a podcast?
Yes, I think that's great. Convince them to come on. I mean, when you would ask everybody, like, where are you at on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't know. For some reason, again, wherever I was in my life, I was down from the second I came on your podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe wrongly because I hadn't thought about it that much. So yeah, okay. Sure, why not?
So maybe maybe the technique is to get somebody that's not going to put any thought into it.
Yes, a real dummy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't you be so much better at answering that question, right? Because you asked so many people for their sperm.
No, I think you did. I don't think there's a cookie cutter. I don't think there's one answer. Yeah. Because everybody's so different, and that's, yeah, for sure. Everybody's coming from a different place. Everybody has shocking answers. I mean, somebody you'd think, who would be totally open to it is an absolute no. And somebody you don't think it would be open to it is like, sure. It's interesting. I don't know where it comes from. The different perspective.
Do you think in hindsight, only because like you were always very self-assured about what you wanted as far as children, obviously, but not, you didn't know as much about the process at that time as you do now. Do you think if you had like, hey, I want your sperm and here's my 6-month plan and the five steps, we're going to try 5 times with you,
that's
you
an
know,
interesting
this,
thing.
And then we'll heighten to that and then we'll heighten to this. But, you know, I wonder, not that, I don't know if there was anybody that was on the fence and that would have pushed them 1 degree or the other, but it might have been just nice for peace of mind for you and for any two people, right? Like, this is what we're both committing to. Again, I don't think it wasn't a big deal for me, but I could see it being a big deal for somebody else being like, is this something I'm going to do for a month or a year?
I think there are, some people even have contracts with their donor, but I didn't want to make you commit to anything too, you know? I always wanted to feel it out as we went along.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait. Just so you know, we did have a contract. It just didn't have anything to do with how long he was required to donate sperm to me. But yeah, I think it is. I think that's a kind of probably a good idea to sort of have a plan ahead of time and hash it all out in advance.
And then COVID hits and you have to throw that.
I mean, that's the other thing with fertility and with COVID. There's no planning possible, still you can make attempts. So,
or at least maybe like a plan isn't even the right word, but like shared expectations, right?
Yeah.
And those things can evolve and morph over time. But like we're both coming into it clear eyed, which I felt that way with you.
Yeah.
You were very clear in what you thought it would look like. And I understood that. Yeah.
I think that's a good piece of advice, though, to sort of have more conversations about it.
Yes.
As many as possible.
Yeah, maybe over a podcast.
Exactly. Well, so I hope I asked you enough fun questions.
I hope I gave enough fun answers. That's the more important part.
I've missed you.
I know. I miss you. I miss your backyard. I miss seeing you and sharing laughs.
Yeah. But I'm so happy for you guys. And will you please give my love to your partner.
Partner, I know. It sounds so mysterious. Of course I will.
Okay, yes. I do love her. I miss her too.
You know, I think I've said this before, but I was so happy to be a part, even a small part of your journey. And I mean, I would have been happy just to have listened to the podcast and been a part of it in that regard. But being a participant was wonderful, too. And I learned so much. It was such a great experience. I look back on it very fondly, Molly. And I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
I always
just think you're just such a wonderful human being for going on that adventure with me. And yeah, I'll never forget it either. I'm so glad I have that part of my life, I think.
Yeah, well, in a purely selfish way, and I appreciate those nice things you just said about me. Again, I think as I mentioned on your podcast, it was kind of not a dark time in my life, that might be overstating it, but a time of kind of nothing going on for me. And it was kind of something like, well, this is something going on for me that was kind of, you
know, a little
fun.
Altruistic, make somebody happy.
Yeah, to think a little bit beyond yourself is a nice change of pace. It was wonderful. It was wonderful then, and it's still wonderful now. And again, it's always nice to hear your voice via the podcast, and great to hear that you're doing great.
Bye, Zach. Thank you so much.
Bye, Molly. Great to see you.
That was ex-donor Zach Huddleston, and that was just a fraction of his interview as well. So if you want to hear the whole shebang, head on over to patreon.com/spermcast and subscribe for $2 or more a month. All of these full catch-up interviews will be on the Patreon. This just in, friends. I just heard back from my urologist friend, and here's what she had to say about varicocele. Many believe that the reason that varicoceles cause issues with sperm quality is the effect that the heat produced increases oxidative stress. This stress can affect sperm motility and morphology. This is why it is recommended that young men, e.g. teenagers, with moderate to severe hydroceles, even if asymptomatic, have them fixed to prevent issues with later fertility. Not knowing the age of your friend, we usually recommend that they have fixed any enlarging or grade 3 varicoceles, especially if the man has any bothersome symptoms such as pain. Is fixing a varicocele after 5 years any more beneficial than fixing it after 10 years? I think it's unclear in terms of fertility because the overall improvement may be confounded by the fact that men making younger sperm tend to recover better than men making older sperm. Hope this helps. I think that does help. I think the answer is address the issue. Do a semen analysis. Get it checked out. Keep checking on it. And maybe, possibly, if you know you want to have kids, do the varicocele surgery. Okay, everybody, that is our show. And oh my goodness, you know what? When I started this show this morning, I mean, when I started doing my little voiceovers, I was so tired and not feeling well from the day before. And then I went to my OBGYN for my first OB visit to do my NIPT test, and I got there and I was waiting for the doctor, and while I was in there, I was having some major, like, gas cramps, and she was taking a really long time, and after about a half hour, I did fall asleep, and then the nurse came in, and she said the doctor was, she had to go deliver a baby, which is amazing, and she said I could wait, and I said, I don't think I can handle it, because I was, like, super cramped up. Well, I got home, and I had the worst diarrhea. I'm sorry, do you guys... I just have no idea what is okay to tell you and what's not, but it was really bad, and I felt really awful. That's it. So I'm having a hard couple of days, and that's all I have to say about that. Hard couple of days, but I get to see Dr. Chung tomorrow, and I'll have my ultrasound, and I'm hoping with all hope that everything is okay. So cross your fingers for me. Well, it will have already happened by the time you heard this probably, but anyway, yeah, cross your fingers for me. I'm so tired. I don't think I can say anything else. I love you. You know where to find me. Let's do the things. Bye.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need
Eerios production.
Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.